morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's so good to just be back as we and get to share in the word together once again. This has been a whirlwind the last few days with the new president coming in, President Biden and Vice President Harris. And we just send up our prayers for them and our country and all the new leadership that's coming forth, that God be glorified. I want you to stay in prayer, continue to lift up the bereaved families, those who are just going through, have lost loved ones, not just to coronavirus, but there's still other things that are going on in families who are struggling in this season and time. And we know that our God is faithful. We're going to talk about that as we've been going through this journey of 2 Thessalonians, dealing with that, the parousia, the second coming of the Lord. I want you to focus in on our website. Thank you so much for just connecting to ebcnc.com. We've got so much that's going on there. If you're having any problems with the upgrades or finding something, please just reach out. Go to the help section. It'll go right to our webmaster, and she'll make sure that everything is connected properly. If you need any help, please don't hesitate to call, text, reach out to us at the church number 336-292-8449 so that we can get that set up. Don't forget about our new church app on our website at the top, at the bottom, and also we've got a big screen that comes across too in our introduction. We have a new church app. We have different versions, some that go directly to your phone. And we encourage you to log on so that you can stay connected and get notifications. And we also have downloads that will go to your tablets, whether you have an Android tablet or you have an iPad. So please, please utilize those. My wife was using the other day on her iPad. She said it just looks beautiful on her iPad. So please, please try that out. Also, don't forget about, we've got some upcoming events on our calendar. Please make sure you're focusing on that. We've got our church conference call that's coming up January 28th, this Thursday at 6 p.m. If you don't have that number, just contact your deacon or text me or call me, and we'll get, it's the same number we've used for our other church conference calls. Just want to check in, make sure that we're on the same page, especially as we're still in the midst of this pandemic. Vaccines are starting to take place. Shout out to all of our nursing staff at Ebenezer that's doing such an excellent job in getting those who are 65 and up vaccinated. So I'm just excited at what the Lord is doing and the contacts that God has allowed us to have. And I pray for you, if you're outside of Ebenezer, maybe in a different state, that that's working out for you. And we're just thanking God for his peace, this peace as we go through these trying times. I want to give you this scripture. I love this scripture, 2 Corinthians 9, 7, and 8. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. But I also have started to add this portion of the scripture because I think it's profound. It says in 2 Corinthians 9, 9, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And that 10th verse, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. God is such a wonderful provider. He's done so much for us, and I don't want us ever to forget that. So before we go any further, I just want to pray for you as you're in this season and this time. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are, for your wondrous grace and mercy. Lord, I thank you for being our provider. I thank you for allowing us, Lord, to give in so many ways, Lord. Thank you for phones that we can text or we can call. Thank you for visits, Lord, where we have masks and social distances. Thank you so much, Lord, for the many facets of giving that you've allowed to be in our lives. Thank you for the seed that you've given to us. We want to glorify you in everything. Bless your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited about the word today. After this next song, I'll be back as we jump back into 2 Thessalonians. See you soon.
Oh,
glad that you're saved. I am. I am so glad for Jesus the Christ for coming in my life, and I just am excited that he continues to save souls. Before we go any further, let's go on a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your mercies and your kindness and for saving sinners like us, Lord. Lord, I pray that if there's someone looking on now that doesn't know you, that today will be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Lord, help them to receive that gift. Now, Lord, as we approach your word, do it very carefully. Thank you for these 66 books. Thank you for the truth, the lasting truth of your word. So, Father, right now I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I welcome you, Holy Spirit. You've never failed, so would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Thank you, God. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been making our journey through 2 Thessalonians, and I've just been excited because I'm just amazed as God speaks to my heart and speaks to our hearts as we can see 2 Thessalonians in the light of what's happening in our country now, in our world. And God is preparing us. He's preparing our hearts to get closer to him, to be transformed more to his likeness. And I say this so often because it's so true, that his light can shine bright through us. As we've been on this journey, we are finally getting to that third chapter. We've been taking it line upon line, precept upon precept. And so I want you to focus on the third verse, 2 Thessalonians, third chapter and the third verse. It reads, I love this, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." I'll read that again, 2 Thessalonians 3:3. "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." I want to speak from a subject today. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Could you just speak that? Those who are on the chat, you can type it. Those who are sitting in your homes, or maybe you're riding along and you're listening to this in the audio version, just say this: the Lord is faithful. Doesn't that feel good just to know in a time, in a season where so many things are just going crazy, that God is faithful? Let's jump into this. We've been on this journey as we've been going through. Remember, Paul the Apostle was actually teaching the church at Thessalonica about the second coming. Some of them in the previous book, that 1 Thessalonians, felt that his return was going to be like that week, within hours. And so some of them had left their jobs. They were going to mountains. They were sitting out on prairies, and they were just waiting for the coming of Christ. And Paul says, even though his coming is imminent, we're not supposed to stop working. We're supposed to stay in the vineyard, in a sense. We're supposed to share the gospel. We're supposed to be the example of Jesus Christ in this world. Last time we were in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistles." And we talked about, "I won't let go." Just some points in review to get us to our lesson today, chosen from last time: the glory of God, stand fast, everlasting love and peace, a firm foundation. So the time frame is about 52 AD. And now Paul the Apostle, he's really getting into the details. We know that the spirit of Antichrist is here. And we focus on that Greek word parousia, letting us know the second coming of Christ. And in this time of the Antichrist rising, we've seen that in vivid detail in the last few weeks, of just people's hearts growing dark. And I'm so glad there was peace and peaceful transition of power. But please understand, there's still some tough days to go as I look at our world, as I look at the homicide rates going up, as I look at families falling apart. This is the time that we really need people to know that there is hope, that Jesus Christ is real, and that he is coming back again. Paul the Apostle, he clarifies even further as we jump into this third chapter of the hope that lies on the inside of us. As I said before, so many people are hitting a hopeless state during this pandemic. People have been separated. People have been quarantined. And I'm seeing so people just give up. They don't want to live life anymore. And I believe God is examining us and saying, hey, I'm there. I am faithful, even in dark times, even in separation, even in struggle. I am faithful to you. Let's jump into 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. So Paul the Apostle, as he's summing up this epistle, he talks, and I love this first part. He says, pray for us. He wants them to really think about those who are delivering the word, those who are teaching the word, those who are going through. In essence, as a church family, we need to be praying for everyone to encourage. You never know what someone is going through. The face that you may see that they present to you behind the mask, or that you may see on a video, that may not be what's going on within their heart. So we need to pray. And Paul the Apostle brings this out. So the first point I want you to really focus in on is the Word of God. Paul the Apostle, he answered this. He says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. So Paul says, pray for us. He puts that conjunction there so that we can understand that the word of God, that it may run swiftly. I remembered, I was just had a lot of thoughts coming together, and my brother-in-law, brother in love, when he came into the family, he was a runner. And I was excited about that. He was actually on his way to be an Olympian and just loved to run and got married and having kids, but still running. And I was able to go to some races with him. And I remember him going out there for his sprints. And he was just so excited. He went to Appalachian and he would kind of get loose and shake. And he would get on those stocks to start off and running. And he would be swift. It was just amazing. Every part of his body was into focus to getting to that finish line. So it is with this scripture. It says that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. This is the time. I believe that we're in the sprint section of our existence here on the earth. I believe that the Lord's return is getting closer and closer, and the word of God is running swift. That means that it's powerful. Those runners that were out there, those runners that were in those lanes, their focus was to win. Their focus was to get to the finish line. And I want you to know, saints, we have the word of God, and our focus is to get to the finish line. That's why we have our Bible reading plans. We started back on that again, reading together, getting into the word, because it's the word of God that's changing us from the inside out. Psalms 147:15, it brings out another part of this running swiftly. It says, he sends out his commands to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. When you get into the word, it's going to change you. Yes, yes. When you are there on a daily basis, you're reading the word and you're focusing in and you're asking the Holy Spirit to teach you, it will change you. I'm telling you, and this is the steps, the things that I've examined in my life. I love worship. I love singing. I love going before the Lord, but getting before God with his word in prayer, he speaks to us and he makes a change on the inside. That's why that word runs swiftly. And the word is the only thing that's going to bring a change within our society. Yes, yes, yes. Even though society is pushing out a lot of these things that the word has put forth, the only way that we're going to have any change in your family, in my family, in Greensboro, is that the word of the Lord has to be lifted up in truth and sincerity. And I've taught this. We are going to be those epistles. It's bigger than a building. It's bigger than a place that we just go on a corner. We have to show forth who God is by knowing the word, having the word on the inside of us. Hebrews 4:12 brings it out even further. For the word of God, listen to this, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Hebrews 4:13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Now, this is critical as we think about our lives. When the word of God is lifted up, the word of God, it cuts. Yes, it cuts forward, it cuts backwards. It gives us the foundation in understanding what is truth. We've heard so much in our society about fake news and changing things and falsities and saying false things over and over again till finally you actually begin to believe those things. But please understand, we have a solid foundation in the Word of God. Paul sums up this thought of the free-flowing of the Word God. He talks about it in Timothy, his spiritual son. He speaks this, and it's a very powerful point, 2 Timothy 2:8. He said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Isn't that is a powerful thought, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But look at this last part. All right, listen to me, the Lord is faithful, but the word of God is not changed. In this season and time where we're in lockdown and there's so much that's going on, please understand that the Word of God is still powerful. The Word of God is still changing lives. The Word of God is still transforming people from the inside out. And that's why the Word is so important. Getting your scriptures in a day and time that we have so much access to scriptures. We can have it on our phones and we can have it on our computers. We can carry it around in our pockets. I'm finding out there's still a great ignorance of the word, that so many people want to read one scripture or one book, but they don't want to take the entirety of the Bible, the 66 books. But when you get into the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, I'm telling you, we began to see the understanding of God and what he's doing in the earth. 2 Thessalonians 3:2, and that we may be delivered, Paul says, from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Here's another point. Deliverance. Deliverance. Now, as you look at that scripture, there's something that really sticks out to me. It says, delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. In these last days, I'm finding out they're becoming more and more unreasonable people. Unreasonable people. There used to be a time, really, I could reason with people. I could talk, and maybe it was a scriptural point we could kind of go through. Even if it was an unbeliever, at least I could come to a reasonable, even if they didn't want to believe what I believe, they could go, okay, that makes logical sense. But now I'm coming upon people that you can't even reason with. Their thoughts are so focused on what they believe. It's so focused on, they can't even see out of their particular circle that they're in. They don't want to hear anything. All they want to do is just push, and they don't want to have an interaction. And that's where we've got to be at, saints. We've got to come to the point of realizing there are people like that, and we've got to learn how to pray. We've got to learn how to go, you know what? It's not about me trying to convince you. I want, when I speak, when I talk about the word of God, I want it to be so anointed that God can step forth, that I don't have to use my reasoning or my thought pattern, but it can be God that speaking for, because in these days we need the power and the anointing of God. We need people not just to read the word, but we need people to live the word. Any hallelujahs out there? We don't just need to just hear the word, but please understand, it says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to hear that word and walk out that word. So many people, they listen to the word, they can hear it read, but they're not living the word of God. So we've got to allow the word to come in and know that God is faithful in this season. The Spirit speaks loudly in 2 Timothy 4:2, says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. 2 Timothy 4:3. Get this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Isn't that where we are in this season and time? People don't want to hear the truth, or they want teachers to tell them what they want to hear. And now people are caught up in fables. They're caught up in lies. They're living lies. They're actually building lie upon lie upon lie upon lie because they refuse the truth. But I'm so glad the Lord is faithful. John Stott, he helps us to understand what the Word of God should do for us when presented. Listen to this. We must allow the Word of God to confront us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thought and behavior. Isn't that good? I am telling you, when you get in the Word of God, and it should be a part of your prayer time, and you have your scriptures open before you, and you're reading through there should be some times you're going to read a scripture, and God's going to speak to you. And I journal. I actually write that down. When God speaks to me, I'll write that scripture down, and I'll put it down because it's applying to my life. And I'm like, God, you're going to have to work more in me for that to change me. And I read over, and it's amazing. As I read a little further, there'll be something else, and He'll begin to speak to me. And the Word of God, it disturbs our security sometimes. Yes, it confronts us. It undermines our complacency. And that's why many people don't want to read the Word. They don't want to get in the Word. It's not because they're having a problem of reading it themselves. They can read it. You can listen to it even if you have a problem with reading. The problem is the more you get into the Word and you hear the Word, it's going to challenge you. It's going to overthrow your habitual ways of that were against God, that had the spirit of Antichrist, and now you're going to have to decide, am I going to be for God? But I want you to understand the Lord is faithful. Aren't you glad that even when we go our ways, even when we get into crazy thought patterns, God said, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. It's amazing that God, I find out He'll send us a word in the nick of time to challenge us, to shake us up and say, hey, I am the faithful one. I am the true. I'm the one that's going to walk with you and talk with you. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful, but the Lord is faithful who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. I want to read that again. But the Lord is faithful. I want you to hear that over. The Lord is faithful who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Here's another point. He has my back. He has my back. I wanted to say his Urban Dictionary, he's got my back. He's got my back. He really has. And to know this is so important because as we go through these days and time, it's challenging. Yes, there's struggles and you can try to be strong all you want to, but understand there are times that we get weak. And Paul the Apostle, the one who caught up in the third heavens, he got weak. But he found out when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I remember as a young kid and growing up in McLeansville, I had in this thought, I always wanted a big brother. I wanted somebody who had my back. I really did. There was some confrontations that I had, and sometimes it would kind of be a fleeting thought. If I had a big brother, if I had somebody that when I came to this confrontation, that they could just kind of stand behind me and be taller than me, be bigger than me, then I wouldn't have had some issues with what I had to deal with. But I'm so glad now we do have an elder brother. His name is Jesus, and he has our back. He's able to take us through whatever we're going through. He's able, even when the evil one comes against us, he's able to say, hey, you can't go any further because I've got them. I've got them. I've got their back. David brings this up in Psalms 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord is faithful. Aren't you glad? But David doesn't stop there. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Aren't you glad he's faithful? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There ought to be some shouts out there. Some of you say, yeah, I found that out. That I got enemies all around me and I'm eating. I'm just enjoying myself because the peace of God has come upon me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. together. There should be some shouts just to know that I have someone who has my back. And surely goodness, yeah, you just say, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me because God is with us. God is faithful. Paul the Apostle, he actually brings this to a climax in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, he says, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I like this because God is faithful in every situation. Yes, whether you're in the hospital now, he's faithful. Whether you've been diagnosed with COVID, he's faithful. I've got testimony. I've been getting calls and texts from people saying, you know what? I contracted COVID and God brought me through it. God was able to put stuff in place and he was able to bring my family through. I'd almost given up when I got the diagnosis, but I found out. I learned how to pray more. I learned how to seek his face. God is faithful. Doesn't matter where you are. God is going to be there for you. But maybe you're in a situation of temptation. I was able to talk to someone the other day that has an addiction and they've been going through. They've been going through in their lives because they've been hit from the left and right. But I'm able to tell them today that God is faithful even in an addiction. God is faithful even in that dark spot. Let me show you this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is, there it is, faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Are there any hallelujahs out there that say God is faithful? He's faithful, 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 faithful. So whatever the struggle, no matter what the enemy may be speaking to you right now that you cannot make it, that you cannot come out, please note and tell him he is a lie because our God is faithful. No matter what's being thrown at you right now, you just tell the devil you are a lie because our God is faithful. If he did it last year, if he did it last week, if he did it last night, he's able to do it. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask a thing. God, our Lord, he is faithful. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:4. And we have confidence, Paul says, in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Here's another point. Paul brings out this confidence in the Lord. Confidence in the Lord. Paul the Apostle expressed his heart now. He says, I got confidence. I've taught you some things. I've commanded you to do. I believe that you're going to walk those things out. And saints, I have confidence. It's been tough as we've been going through this season and we've been separated in a sense. You can see me, but I can't see you. And I've been praying and seeking God just how all of this is going to come to fruition. And with COVID and this pandemic, how are these things going to converge? And sometimes it can become disheartening because I can't see exactly what's going on. But I got something on the inside that says the saints are growing, that the saints are getting closer, the saints are knowing God more for themselves. They're in the scriptures and they're blossoming. And you say, Pastor, how can you believe that? How can you believe that I'm growing in this season and this time, even though we're separated physically? Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way. Are there any good men and good women out there? Say, yes, yes, yes. God is the only one who's made me good, who's changing me from the inside out, and he's been ordering my step. Paul understood how faithful the Lord was, and he writes to the church of Philippi in Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The Lord is faithful. We got to work out our own salvation, and I'm confident today that there's some saints that's growing. I'm confident today that there's some prayer warriors and intercessors that are getting closer to the Lord. I'm confident today that souls are being saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth, that the church is on the expanse, even in this dark time, that again, God's light is shining. I'm confident today that God is doing something in us that's amazing in this season. God is preparing us and getting us right before him. The Lord is faithful. Let me get this last verse of the day, 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Now may the Lord, look at this, direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Can you hear that again? Now may the Lord is faithful, direct your hearts in the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Here's our final point. Love and patience. Love and patience. I get this a lot. Pastor, how do I know I'm growing? How do I know I'm becoming more like Christ? So this is a foundational point that defines who we are. And those words that stick out are the love of God and in the patience of Christ. Now look at what Paul does here. He uses that first part. He says, the Lord, may the Lord. Then he uses the love of God. Then he uses Christ. He puts this Trinitarian idea right within the scriptures to let us know how powerful God is. How much love are you showing and how patient are you? Yes, because that's the litmus test. That's the foundational point. As we grow in God, there's going to be more love and patience. Hallelujah. You got to think about, I need you to examine yourself, because if you're growing in God, I'm going to say it again, there's going to be more love and patience. Peter Schultz, he captures the love command in this iconic song. He says, we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Then he goes on to that next section. He says, we will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Are you showing that kind of love? That we care about those that are around us. That, again, we're praying for those. We're encouraging those that are around us. We care because God is love and He is working in us. But let us not forget another point. We have love, but love is also connected with something else. It's patience. This is so hard for us, waiting. We've been waiting. We've been waiting. We've been dealing with COVID-19, and we've been waiting. We've had to slow down. Things have changed. This has been hard. We've been used to our own routines, and some have been pushing out, trying to get back to their own routines. And God said, hold up. We're going to slow this thing down, because waiting is a part of understanding who God is. James writes, as he's led of the Spirit in James 1 and 2, he says, my brethren, listen to this. This is where we are right now. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, are you with me? Patience. I'm going to read that again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. In essence, James, as he's led by the Spirit, he says, when you go through some trials, you need to start shouting. Now, that is counterintuitive. That does not make sense, that when a struggle comes, we go, God, I just want to give you praise. When we have issues like we're in with this COVID-19, we say, God, I know you're working it out. But for the Christian, we understand something. Since the Lord is faithful, even when I don't understand it, I can still give him some praise. And I dare some of you that are going through right now, some of you got some struggles in you, I dare you right now, say, Lord, I don't like where I am. I don't like what I'm feeling. I don't like this situation. But I'm going to praise you. I dare you right now to click off, put your slippers off and kick them off right now in your living room and say, God, I'm going to praise you right now because you have been faithful even when I haven't been faithful. I dare you right now, if you're driving your car, just move it to the side and just get out. I don't want you to act too crazy, but I want you to think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done. And you can say, the Lord has been faithful even though I'm going through some stuff right now. I'm going to give him some praise, because I understand that patience is being produced in me. I understand that strength is coming up in me. Who can forget the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13:4? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. There ought to be some shout, because when love gets on the inside, patience is right there. They're like twins coming together, and now we can see there's something. I'm telling you, when you look back over the last few months. There should be more love in you. There should be more patience in you. There should be some stuff that used to come to you. It don't even bother you anymore. You need to look back. You say, you know what? I used to lose my mind in those situations, but now I'm just as calm as can be. Now, don't lift yourself up. I want you to give God the praise, because he was working some stuff in us. I'm telling you, when we come through this pandemic, we're going to be prepared to go through whatever God wants us to go through. When we get on the other side of this thing, we're going to look back and say, God, if it had not been for you on my side. When we get to the other side, we're going to start to see how strong we are. We're going to start seeing some muscles, and we're going to start seeing how the word of God is running swiftly, and we're going to become more focused on what God is calling us to do. Not just when we're in a physical building, but when we're on our job, when we're in our family, when we're walking in Walmart or Food Line or Lowe's, wherever you may be, we're going to be focused on the calling of the Lord, because we know that he's working on the inside. What better way to show love and patience as example than when God sent his only begotten son? There ought to be some hallelujahs. Please understand, he went through the whole fruition of existence. He was born of a virgin of Mary. He grew up at the age of 12. He said, now, mom and dad, don't you know it's about time for me to get about my father's business? See, Joseph was his stepdad, and Jesus had to remind Mary, please understand, God has put me here for a reason. But he didn't go into full ministry at 12. He waits to the age of 30 to start walking the streets of Galilee, healing the sick and raising the dead, because he is so faithful. He wanted to understand what we went through and our struggles, but he didn't stop right there. Aren't you glad that God went ahead and he taught like none other? He went ahead and he showed us compassion. But even in his existence, there was some times that he got frustrated with us. Please note, when the disciples weren't able to cast out a demon, and they should have been able after walking with Jesus in Matthew 17:17, then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. But I'm glad that he didn't stop right there. Aren't you glad that our God is faithful? He could have said, you know what, forget it. They're so messed up. There's no hope for him. But my Jesus, he says, no, I'm going to go to full fruition. We find him in the Garden of Gethsemane crying out that third time, "Father, not my will, but let thy will be done." Betrayed by Judas Iscariot, beaten all night long, goes up the Via Dolorosa, nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And on that cross, he carried our sins and bore our griefs, because he is faithful. Even when everyone turned away from him, he is faithful. But there's a thief on the side of him and said, you know what? I realize that you're different. You're a faithful God. He said, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? And aren't you glad that Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise? Jesus drops his head in the locks of his shoulder. They peel that cold, limp body off the cross, put it in a cold tomb. But I want you to know, he is faithful. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man would be in the belly of the earth. And he gets up on the third day with all power and all glory, and now is seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints, because he's faithful. Yes, he's faithful. Saints, we've got to remember that God is with us, that God is working in us, that God is ordering our steps, that God is not going to leave us, that God is doing something wonderful in this season of darkness. Yes, the spirit of Antichrist has revealed himself, but please understand, God still has more to do. God still has more souls to be saved, brought to the knowledge of the truth. This is not the time to give up. This is the time to focus in more and more and say, God, use me for your service. The Lord is faithful. If you're out there and you don't know him right now, I'm telling you, I want to introduce you to him. I pray that you listen to this whole message today, because we've showed you he goes to the cross. He went to the cross for you. He died and he was raised on the third day. And he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You may say, is that it? Yes, that's it. Well, you may say, well, what about all the other things I've done in my life? It says, by grace you're saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift from God. God said, here, I'm giving you a gift in this dark time. I'm giving you a gift that you can be saved and you can know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Don't you want to be free today? for the saints who know him. I want to encourage you, and I want to get ready to pray for you, that we be edified, that we be strengthened, that we allow the word of God to run swiftly, that we be on task and ready and focused on that finish line. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this word today, Lord. Thank you for using Paul to speak to this church, to encourage them, God, that it is all about you, that you are transforming, you are changing us, you have chosen us, you are making us to be more like you. Father, I just give you praise, honor, and glory. Thank you for saving souls. Thank you for delivering. Thank you for setting free. Thank you for being our healer. Again, thank you for being faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. you glad that the Lord is so faithful. As you go through this week, I really want you to live in expectancy of God using you in an amazing way, working in you, and you being transformed to be more like Him. I'm telling you, this is our time as Christians to shine bright in such a dark, dark world. And even when you go through those valleys, those mountains that you have to climb, know that it's really not about you, because when you're weak, then are you strong. Know that God is faithful. You be blessed. See you soon.